have no financial relationships to disclose. So I'm here with the New Orleans Health Department. Population, you can see, we're a local health department. We're actually the only local health department in the state of Louisiana. So we rely on the state for a lot of public health functions. About 80 staff people. Our budget's about $16 million, and the majority of that is grant-funded. We are accredited in June of 2014. A little bit of a background, our department went through a major transformation in the past few years. We historically focused on direct services, primary care, and we got new leadership in 2010, 2011. They came in and decided that we were going to rapidly transform into a department that really focused on addressing the public's health. So we launched a bunch of new population health initiatives and had a strong emphasis on meeting the standards of what a local public health department should be that were set out by the Public Health Accreditation Board at the time. And so there was a huge commitment to accreditation and QI among our leadership that came in. That manifested in dedicated program lead for quality improvement being hired in July of 2012, which that was me, the performance management / quality improvement program lead / accreditation coordinator. So how did we build our program from, I think hiring that staff person was key at the beginning because you had to have somebody to do it. It doesn't just happen. So it was a matter of identifying resources for the program to start up. So fortunately, we applied for and received an accreditation support grant from NACHO that allowed us, gave us some funding to play with to build our program. There was some other grant funding that came into play for other staff members who gave us, were part of our team. NACHO, National Network of Public Health Institutes, if anyone is from state or local health departments that has not yet connected with them and their open forum and their public health improvement training, that's an amazing resource. Michigan QI guidebook, the Public Health Foundation tools, including the Turning Point framework, and various webinars that are out there, so useful in building a QI program. So the first thing we did was we got together a quality council off the bat because we knew it had to be a team effort. So it was about 10 people. About 8 of those people we strategically, me and my deputy director and our health commissioner, sort of handpicked 8 people from all these different program areas across the department. And then we left open 2 slots that we just made available to the department at large, just in case there was anyone else out there that we didn't capture that wanted to join. So we ended up with about 10 people. And off the bat, we did start with a team charter because we wanted to be really clear on exactly what our purpose was. And Margaret Richmond in the back was part of our QI team at one point, so shout out to you. So using this that Magali mentioned on NACHO's roadmap to the QI culture, this was really critical to understanding where we were and where we wanted to go. So again, huge resource if you haven't already checked it out. So as a QI council, we got together and we were talking about, okay, where are we in this process? And because the health department had been in this process of rapid transformation, we had been engaging in a lot of quality improvement, quote unquote, not quote unquote, sort of ad hoc, you know, improvement projects, not necessarily following the standard, you know, QI models. But there had been a lot of improvements going on. So we considered ourselves to be at phase 3. Informal or ad hoc QI. So, we knew where we wanted to go along the path. So then we did an analysis of, so NACHO breaks down their roadmap into the 6 different thematic areas, foundational elements they call it, of a QI team, and there's actually, they have an assessment form that's useful that we actually utilized to try to assess. There's various questions that go under each of these categories. And so the sample size here is 10 because we got each member of our quality council filled out this this survey so we could understand where we were and where our strengths were. So this is when we started. This was January 2013 when we had everyone fill this out. And we realized, for example, leadership commitment was high, but some of the areas where we needed improvement were our QI infrastructure was poor. Teamwork and collaboration, we weren't routinely getting QI teams, quote unquote, together. We weren't working collaboratively on improvement projects. And then just the continuous process improvement. As I said, we weren't following like any sort of plan, do, study, act cycle at the time. So this was a useful tool. So using that and building upon that around the same time, late 2012, early 2013, is when we put together our first quality improvement plan. So we use the FAB, Public Health Accreditation Board standards, as a guide. They're very specific in the standards and measures as to what exactly has to be in your QI plan. So we use that, and we also, you know, there's great public QI community practices out there that we could review other departments' QI plans and get their feedback and just sort of pick and choose and all, of all the resources out there, we could really pull something together that really reflected what we needed in our plan. So the goal of our plan was to build a culture of quality improvement at our health department. And the main objectives for this was to orient and train staff on QI, was to improve our performance management systems because we follow the Turning Point Performance Management Framework, whereas quality improvement is part of that overall performance management framework. And then to actually go ahead and complete the Plan, Do, Study, Act cycles and storyboards. We adopted Plan, Do, Study, Act as our QI methodology. It's so simple and elegant, and I think we just wanted to have something that's standardized that we could recommend to folks. So those were the key components of it. And I'm happy to share our QI plan with anyone if you're interested and you're trying to put something together for your health department. So as part of to accomplish one of our objectives, we had a staff training, and we utilized some of our NACHO accreditation support funding. And we had a trainer come down from the Public Health Foundation, and we did a one-day training with about 25 staff. So this represented about a third of our staff. So using real QI scenarios, we had four actual QI scenarios that people worked on in teams throughout the day. So that was to really make it a reality. And it was well-received. Of course, now a lot of those staff have moved on by now, and more than half of those staff people are no longer with the department, so I guess I should hold off on that as challenges for the future. That was useful. And it was actually critical to have a QI training so people could just, you know, because quality improvement can be such like a nebulous term. You know, it's just hard to get your mind around it until you actually sit down and do it, until you actually sit down and, you know, do a flow diagram or do a fishbone diagram and practice it. It's hard to really grasp, I think. So another critical part of it, our QI plan, was improving our performance management systems. So our department in 2011 had three main indicators that we tracked. In 2012, this grew to about 14 that we tracked, and we continued to build upon this. In 2013, we got to about 25, between 2013 and 2014, we went through a more in-depth process of meeting with, of breaking it down, not only at the program department and programmatic level, but at the work unit level, so we could really dig down a little bit deeper. And these are some of the picture of some of the working group meetings that we had. So this is going to be this, it has been and will be really helpful in helping to inform where we need to engage in quality improvement projects. And then, you know, the third main component of our QI plan for the year was to actually engage in improvement cycles and just put out some storyboards out there. And so this is a storyboard template I think we got from NACHO. And we ended up, by late 2013, we had about five storyboards put together. We put some storyboards together retrospectively, describing improvement projects that had already taken place. We did some at the time of the QI training. We were able to apply those QI principles to projects that were going on at that time. And then there were projects that a couple of new projects that we engaged that we embarked on at the very that we initiated after the QI training. So from the beginning we were able to follow the formal process. So it was kind of a mix, but it was really helpful just to kind of see how our work fits into this Plan, Do, Study, Act model, and it just helps you kind of ensure, document what you're doing and share what you're doing, and just to have some sort of concrete product that comes out, you know, beyond the actual improvements that were made. So these are just a couple from our emergency preparedness and our Ryan My HIV/AIDS program. So in February 2014, we did a relook at that assessment again because we wanted to know how far we had come, where our progress was made, and where we hadn't made progress. So you can, again, the sample size is about 10. So we had our quality council fill it out. And you can see we made a good bit of progress with the QI infrastructure in terms of we had that quality council in place, we had a QI plan in place, so I think those were key components of that. We had made a couple of some progress in sort of in the teamwork and collaboration and the process improvement, some improvements. Of course, we have a long way to go. It takes a while to build a culture of QI. So, but at least we had some small gains that we could build upon. Customer focus was one that we did not make any gains on, and not only did we not make gains on it according to this, but by that time, it was really apparent to all of us on the Quality Council that we really wanted to focus more on customer service and tracking our customer service data and looking at that across the department and how we were doing customer satisfaction wise. So we revised our QI plan for 2014 and 2015, and this is what it looked like. So in addition to the main goal of promoting a culture of quality improvement at our health department, we added another goal of increasing our ability to monitor and improve customer satisfaction. So we still had our three main objectives, and we added on a special focus on customer satisfaction. And some of these objectives we built upon from last year that we didn't actually fulfill entirely from the year before. For example, we held an in-person training, but you know, one training is not good enough. So I was interested in Magali's talk on how to sustain that, because that's what we're looking for having to do. But we want to we need to incorporate some sort of QI training into the onboarding process. So that didn't happen last year. So that still needs to happen. So you can see some of the ones, and you know, obviously in implementing the quality improvement cycles, we were able to identify QI projects because fairly easily because we had just gone through that process of revising our performance management system. So we had a good view of the whole department and all the performance measures across the department and where the improvements were slated to be made. And so it was pretty easy to just identify those. So really performance management and QI just go hand in hand. And as far as customer satisfaction, we identified a couple of places where we wanted to focus on assessing, doing customer satisfaction surveys and reporting on that. So to summarize, this is our timeline for how we built a culture or how we are building a culture of QI. Let's see what to say about this. Just to add on here is that in July of 2013 was when we submitted our documents to FAB for accreditation. And as you can see, we were kind of on the fast track. I think a lot of departments are further along the path to QI by the time they submit their documents, but we were kind of on a fast track, and so that's what it was. And we revised our QI plan in May of 2014 was when we were able to revise it. So looking ahead, some of the challenges that we have are staffing. It's just so critical that you have at least one staff person who's really dedicated to QI and taking the lead and is able to arrange the trainings to look at making sure the QI to serving as an internal consultant of sorts to help guide people through the processes of the Plan, Do, Study, Act. So I'm still that person, but I also have more responsibilities now. So I'm just We got to figure that out. And funds for training, we had that accreditation support grant, and that has since been depleted. So how are we going to train? And the in-person training is so valuable. I mean, I don't know if online training is really going to suffice. But opportunities, we got some really great feedback from our FAB site visitors on all of our everything we submitted, but particularly this quality improvement is under Domain 9. And I would say our site visitors were probably most critical of our Domain 9. They gave us the most constructive feedback on our QI work. And it shouldn't really be a big surprise, I guess, because we had only been going on for a year by the time, you know, we submitted our documentation. So it wasn't too surprising. But they gave us some really great feedback of how we can even do a better job and really, be more data-driven, for example. We have performance management support from within our city government. There's an Office of Performance and Accountability. So we tap them for assistance with performance management, which is huge, and we want to continue to do that. We got some great momentum being generated from our whole process and the Quality Council. I have to say, people really, our Quality Council members really enjoy being a part of it. And the folks that we selected for the Quality Council are folks who are in the trenches with their program. They're not like the program managers. Well, some serve a dual purpose, but they're not necessarily like director level. They're folks who are really, you know, engaged and work in the day-to-day work. Some of them might have specific QI responsibilities in their programs, and it's just a great way to get together because opportunities for folks to come together and across departmental team like this are kind of few and far between. So it's really energizing to get together and all talk about these issues, how you're going to do implementing QI, and a continued emphasis on data-driven decision making. So I'll wrap up now and throw it open to questions. Thank you.